Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need, but there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back at 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.jbsba.com, and if you go there and you noodle around on our site and you look for archives of shows that I've done with our guest this half hour, Doug Stiles, I think you'll be amazed at some of the outstanding information that Doug has brought us over the years. He's been with us now for a long time, been one of our original Brain Trust members. He's the only accountant, only CPA in the world who can actually make this stuff fun. Doug Stiles, welcome back to the show.
Boy, I don't know. Is that a challenge or
that's exactly right.
You're going to have criticism.
You're going to have to live up to that, Doug.
Well, the best thing I could do is just hang up and let you talk then.
No, you can't go away. We got a lot of things to talk about. Hey, Doug, let's do two things at least today. Let's get some of the details that we need to wrap up 2003 taxes, and then ultimately we'll talk about do some planning for 2004. But what's going on? What's the word that we've got to have? What do you need to know about right now to get ready for 2003 preparation?
A couple of the watchwords for 2003 is, remember, we had a massive tax bill last June, some which was retroactive to a mystical date in May the 5th, some which was retroactive for all of 2003, which, as we've talked about before on this show, Jim, gave everybody, every single taxpayer out there, everybody listening, is going to pay less tax for 2003 than they paid in prior years because of this, I'll use the word again, massive tax cut.
But wait a minute, Doug, I heard the Democrats say it was only for the rich.
Don't get me started. You've been listening to that Hillary again.
Actually, I think it was John Kerry. He said it was only for the rich.
Well, and that's just a bold-faced lie. I mean, I'll be blunt about that. If you pay no tax, you get no tax cut because, you know, I can't give you something for nothing.
Right.
And actually, that's not true either because they did enhance the
earned income credit, which
is not, you know, is not as much as it could be, but it just continues to increase a little bit for those folks that are struggling a bit. But yet, everybody did got a tax cut. And yes, we could argue that, hey, what about Bill Gates? Did he really need a tax cut? Well, regardless of your philosophy, he got a tax cut.
He earned all that money, didn't he?
Well, I some people would take exception to our feelings on that. But point is, it was across-the-board tax cut. And sure, the people that pay more are saving more, but mm-hmm. they still pay a lion's share of it. So you know where I stand politically, but
yeah,
that's besides
absolutely.
The point. But here's my point. It did not simplify the tax law. It's more complicated than ever. We started pushing tax returns through our firm just this week, and I won't say we're stuck on them, but every single one of them's got a twist. I mean, they reduced the tax on dividends, but only certain dividends.
Mm-hmm.
Capital gains, you've got to break them into the pre-May the 6th capital gains and the post-May the 6th capital gains. And if you had a carry forward from last year, is a little uncertainty is what you offset first, whether it's the early gains or the late gains. And, bottom line here is if you're trying to do your tax return on your own and you've got capital gains and losses, you've got to go at least buy some software somewhere because
right.
it's more complicated.
It's just too complicated to calculate, isn't it?
Well, and then for our business folks, the majority of the people that we hope are listening to this program, is we now have, I believe it's 18 different kinds of depreciation, Jim.
Wow.
The good news is more depreciation. As we've talked about, you can expense or deduct up to $100,000
mm-hmm.
of costs for new business property.
And that was all part of the new law.
Yeah, and that's retroactive to January 1st, 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great, but then, you know, what do you apply it against? And there's certain limitations, and again, there are carry forwards and so forth in that. It's not simple stuff, which is music to my ears. But
yeah, exactly. No, I know that's the every year they have a new CPA retirement amendment to the tax law, right, Doug?
Well, I do a lot of lobbying for that, and it's not too far from the truth. The other thing that we're seeing is that the few people who have been in to see us to have their taxes done already, they're not getting your information. I know there are people listening and saying, well, I'd love to do my taxes, but I didn't get my year-end statement from Merrill Lynch. They actually, it's an interesting story on that. Merrill actually applied to the IRS for a two-week extension of getting their 1099s out. The IRS denied it.
Wow.
Now they're past the deadline, so who knows what's going to happen.
Holy mackerel. What is going to happen?
What will happen is the IRS will probably try to find them, and then they'll think of some reason
why
they
should. What's Merrill Lynch's problem?
Well, they apparently can't get their software tuned in to crank out all the information.
I'll be darned.
Forms 1099 this year are terribly
complicated.
Somebody's
going to lose their job over that.
Well, yes, a lot of people have lost their jobs at Merrill, is what I learned yesterday.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good. Stand by, Doug. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, I'm going to ask Doug, is there anything we can do right now to impact our 2003 tax bill? And he's going to have some, I think he's going to have some information for us on that. 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend, Doug Stives, with the Kirchen Group out of beautiful downtown Red Bank, New Jersey. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Doug Stives, the resident CPA of our Brain Trust. And Doug, here's my question for you. My question is there anything that we can do to impact our 2003 taxes, even though we're already in 2004?
The answer is yes, but I'll scold some people out there. What you needed to do is meet with your CPA or whoever does your tax planning before December 31st.
We tried to get him to do that, didn't we?
We did. We jumped up and down, and all they did was go...
Wait, Doug. We should be fair. I'm sure everybody in our listening audience did exactly what we told them to do back in August and September and October and November and December.
We have them well trained.
So we're preaching to the choir here, Doug. Go ahead.
Well, let's preach further to the choir. We want you all to sit down and write a check out. Doug Stives, and the second went to Jim Blassingame. Put your hands on the radio.
That's right.
To answer your question, before we go to break again here, there are three things that come immediately to mind. One's an old thing. Even if you have never had a retirement plan, but you sit with your tax preparer and you have a profit in your small business from 2003, say, oh, well, it's too late to set up a retirement plan. No, it's not. You can still, even up till the due date of your tax return, set up a retirement plan as a self-employed person, something called a SEP, S-E-P, which is Simplified Employee Plan. The name is really meaningless. If somebody comes to me and say, hey, I started a consulting business and I made money for the first time in 2003, got $50,000 worth of profit, we can take 20% of that profit and throw it into a SEP before April 15th, we file the return, and still take a deduction, even though we didn't even think about it in 2003, and even though we're going to fund it in 2004. The rules allow you to do that.
So it's similar to the IRA thing, isn't it?
Yep, except it's bigger numbers.
Yeah.
IRA, even if one spouse doesn't work and the other's self-employed, you're limited to $6,000 a year, $3,000 apiece. If you're over age 50, it's $3,500 apiece for IRAs. But the SEP plan, go back to my little example, on a $50,000 profit, 20% of that's $10,000 you can put away.
And it's up to a maximum of what, $40,000?
$40,000 now, yeah.
Now, that's for the business period. That doesn't have anything to do with husbands or wives or anything like that.
Well, actually, if you had your spouse involved, these are relatively new rules, changed a couple of years ago, Jim. If, let's say I'm, again, a self-employed CPA or self-employed consultant or whatever, I can throw $40,000 into my plan and I could put my wife through the company and put a second $40,000 in.
Wow. So if your wife is drawing an income from the company.
Even if she isn't, you can make her a part owner.
Oh, and so give her some stock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you're a corporation, if you're an LLC, make her a member, whatever you have.
Right.
You don't have to put her on payroll.
She's just like, what if she doesn't actually hold stock? You haven't actually given her stock, but she's like an officer. She's a treasurer or something like that.
Well, if it's a corporation, then you would have to pay her a salary.
Right, okay.
Most of our small businesses that we set up today, we don't bother with corporations, which saves some tax.
Yeah.
Second idea that I'll throw out, of course, is because of the 2003 law, and we mentioned it before the break, is the Section 179 $100,000 tax write-off. And if some people ran their businesses not giving any consideration to that, well, when they've come in to see me, I found out that they put a new computer system in or put a new telephone system in or bought a new truck or whatever, You can't do this on some cars, but you can do it on, I'll say, non-automobile or vehicles that weigh over 6,000 pounds, if it's an SUV or whatever, or even a pickup truck that weighs less than 6,000 pounds. It's a little bit beyond the scope of what we're trying to do this morning, but the point is you can deduct up to $100,000.
But the ability to impact the 2003 numbers have already sailed. That ship has sailed because you had to have had that in service in 2003, right?
That's right. You didn't have to have paid for it, but you had to take possession of it, take title to it, and get it in service before January 1st of 2004.
Right.
That's correct. But
right.
My point is you didn't have to do anything in 2003 on, you know, making a lecturing like that. You do that now on your 2003 tax return.
Mm-hmm.
Not too late to do that. And the third thing that's a little bit new, or very new for 2003, is those of us that are self-employed again can now deduct 100% for the first time of your health insurance.
Yeah.
So in my own case, I'm a member of an LLC in our accounting firm here. The Kirchen Group is a little LLC, and the firm pays my medical insurance. They can't deduct it, but on my K-1, the little schedule I get at the end of the year, it shows there that they paid some ridiculous amount for my health insurance, and I can now deduct for the first time 100% of that on my individual tax return.
Used what about
was 70% the prior year?
Yeah, and folks, let me tell you something. There, some of the folks that you've heard me interview on the show, some of our friends over at the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business, the Small Business Survival Committee, some of those guys, and some other organizations like that. Ed Doug knows they've been working. Those groups have been working hard for several years, for at least 10 years, to get what Doug just said a reality.
Sure, because major corporations were deducting health insurance for everybody for as long as I can remember, and then the little small businessman like Jim and myself and the rest of us out there were paying our health insurance with after tax dollars. That's nuts. Well, now that's been fixed.
Totally inequitable, but now we got it fixed, as Doug says. And when we come back, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want Doug to talk to us about 2004. What can we do in 2004? And also, I'm going to ask him about the HSAs and the new Medicaid. I'm sorry, the new Medicare bill that was signed in December included the provision for something called health savings accounts, HSAs, that replaced the MSAs. But the cool thing about that is it added an employee. I'm sorry, it added an employer wrinkle to the HSAs that wasn't there for MSAs. We're going to get Doug to tell us how all that works. This is, folks, this is very important, this HSA thing. In my opinion, this is going to turn the century of the entrepreneur around. And we're going to do that right after these messages. Ten Till, stay with us. We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Doug Stiles with Kirchen Group out of beautiful downtown Red Bank, New Jersey. Doug, you got a website, don't you?
We sure do. Kirchen.com. What an original name, huh?
C-U-R-C-H-I-N, right?
Right.
And, it's folks, it may be the most exciting CPA website in the world, on the planet, in the universe. Be sure to check it out. And
if you're suffering from not being able to sleep this weekend, just look up our website and read about all the exciting things we do.
Go to Kirchen.com and yuck it up. No question about it. Hey,
oh,
Doug.
Boy. I wish that were true.
Let's talk about the HSAs, the health savings accounts. That was the only, really the only bright spot in the Medicare bill that was passed in December. Tell us what they replaced and how they're different.
Okay, let's lead into this with two comments. One is that this is for 2004. It does not affect your 03 filings in
right.
any shape or form. This is planning going forward, and as we talked about at the top of the show here is, you know, go do it now. Don't wait till December. What it replaced was something that most people never heard of in the first place is called the health savings accounts, and that was an issue that was put into the law in 1996 as an incentive to get Americans to go to high deductible health insurance programs.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that's listening or has ever listened to this show would agree that the cost of health insurance in this country is just unaffordable. It's outrageous.
Out of control.
And the only way we're going to fix it is if people are willing to self-insure to some extent and go to high deductible policies. And our little firm here, we went from $1,000 deductible to $3,000 deductible. I know people are listening and say, oh, I couldn't afford that. My employees wouldn't sit still for that. Well, here's how you fix it. You take the amount of savings that the increased deductible generates in premium reductions, and it's big. If you go from $1,000 to $3,000, it will reduce your premiums by like $1,800 a year.
Right.
We did it. It's a real live number. People don't believe it, but it's there. So I raised my deductible from $1,000 to $3,000, gave myself an $1,800 savings, and here's the point. With the health savings accounts in 2004, I can take that savings, or my company can take that savings and put it directly into this new entity called a health savings account. Exactly what the name implies. It's there. You can use it for future health care on a tax-free basis. If you never use it, if you have good economics and manage to save that and just use some of your current money to pay for your, you know, your small medical expenses before you reach the deductible.
Right.
You can use it as a retirement plan. It works like an IRA. You take the money out after you retire.
But if you need it, if you have a $500 bill, a health bill, and you don't have the cash, that it's laying there. That's what it's there for.
Yeah.
Well, you take it out tax-free, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Here's the problem. Health insurance companies over the years have made junkies out of us. I mean, right in my own office, I got people running down to drug stores, and you know, for only $10, they can get $300
right.
worth of drugs. But when you've got to meet that $3,000 deductible, you say, do I really need those stupid pills?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really need them. It's amazing. When we went to this high deductible, the frivolous trips to the doctors and the crazy buying drug stores or buying up drugs at the end of the year has just about stopped.
Well, but you know, Doug, small business owners aren't so much like that because we don't have time to go to the doctor. We don't have time to run down to the drugstore.
Well,
you know what else, Doug? We don't have time to be sick.
Well, exactly. And you know, I've tracked that. We laugh about it, Jim, but I don't remember the last time I took a sick day.
Hey, listen, I got a little cartoon on my desk that I've had for years that I give to people. This guy's laying in the bed, and his wife's hovering over him. She says, you can't take a sick day. You're self-employed.
That's right. And let's be realistic, though.
Go ahead.
Our employees all take all the sick days we give them, don't they?
That's right. Doug, we got about a minute. What do we need to do to get ready for 2004? What are some other things?
Well, what you need to do is if you go to a practitioner to have your 2003 taxes done, don't spend a whole lot of time on that. Say, how can you save me taxes in 2004? And if they're good, they're going to say, let's make an appointment and get together in May and June and talk about it. Meanwhile, they're going to give you a challenge, like I think the one we just talked about, is once you go to talk to your insurance folks and set up an HSA, get money going into that health savings account, provide better for yourself and your later life by doing that. The other thing is let's do a little cash flow analysis. That's not a tax item, but it's amazing how few small businesses have what we used to call a budget. Now we call it a cash flow analysis.
Right.
And then whoever helps you with that, check in with them at the end of the first quarter and see how you're doing.
Doug, let me say a couple of things real quick as we wrap up the hour. I'd like to remind people that some states have a franchise tax due in February, and all corporate tax returns have to be either filed or extended by March 15th, right?
In almost every my state, it's April 15th, but you know the federal is as March 15th. The
right.
majority of states, absolutely
but
right.
The federal, exactly. Hey, Doug, good job today. Thank you. We're looking forward to having you back again another day.
Hey, stay out of the rain, will you?
All right, Doug Stiers, ladies and gentlemen, with Kirchin Group. He'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. Continue to seek excellence, folks. That's the best way to get to success. To seek excellence. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.